Welcome to episode 57 of Industry Misinterpretations with James Robertson, Mike Lucas Smith, Arden Thomas, and our guests from Gemstone, Monty Williams, James Foster, and Dale Henricks. We discussed the glass initiative that Gemstone has announced with their support of Seaside, which kind of goes along with our podcast from last week where we discussed Seaside. This was recorded the last week of September in Cincinnati, Ohio, while we had our Camp Seaside meeting. If you have feedback on this or any other episode, please send it to smalltalkpodcasts@syncom.com. You can feel free to head on over to iTunes and leave a review. Head on over to Podcast Alley and cast a vote. Or look for the Industry Misinterpretations group over at Facebook.
Do you want to go to the seaside? I'm not trying to say that everybody wants to go. I fell in love at the seaside. I handle my charm with time and sleight of hand. Do you want to go to the seaside?
Okay, that sounds better, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's much better.
Okay, good. So, I thought the feedback was probably not going to be appreciated.
Probably not.
Probably not.
It should be recording, yeah.
Okay, so where do you want to start?
So I guess on your end, Monty, we've got you and Dale.
Yep. And James Foster is here as well, although he has a cold, so he's more likely to remain silent.
I'll sound incognito.
Okay, and we've got Dave Buck via Skype.
I'm phoning in.
Oh, you're phoning in. Okay, that's right, because we're on a real phone line now. And I've got Michael and Arden and myself are here at Syncom Corporate, so we've got
a lot of people on the line.
Yeah, a lot of people on the line.
I think this is an industry misinterpretations record. A number of people in a conference call for a podcast at one time.
It's like the Polycast now.
Yeah. All we need is somebody to start breathing really heavily, and it'll be a lot like the Polycast, yeah. So I guess that's probably all meaningless to the Gemstone guys. So why don't I get started by asking, I guess the main thing is you guys probably want to talk mostly about your glass initiative. So why don't you want to talk about that, Monty, or you want to leave that to Dale? How do you want to do that?
Well, I mean, I can talk if you're interested in the, you know, kind of history and how this got started and, you know, at a high level, I can certainly explain that. I mean, back at Small Talk Solutions in April, we announced, a web edition, which, you know, has been discussed before. And we came up, as we were implementing that, we came up with this, even back then, we were talking about the model would be that you use Gemstone as the database, Linux to run it on, Apache as the front end, and Seaside and Smalltalk. So, I mean, it all came out of a Seaside initiative, and two things have happened since then. We've been working on getting the Seaside implementation running in Gemstone, and in addition to the Seaside implementation, some Monticello tools so that we have a source code management system. And the third thing we did, which I guess you weren't at ESUG, James, is we demoed a little appliance, a VMware appliance that runs Gemstone, Linux, Apache, Seaside, and Smalltalk in a VMware image. So you can put it on a Macintosh or a PC as long as it's a modern 64-bit Macintosh or PC, and you get a double clickable application, which actually boots up everything, starts Gemstone and a few other things, and out of it you get a Seaside instance running with much more of a zero configuration than you would if you were, you know, to get all these components and install them yourself. I mean, we saw a lot of traffic on the, you know, on the mailing list that said, well, gee, if I'm going to use Apache or a load balancer or whatever, I have to figure out how to do that. So how are we going to, you know, write one in Smalltalk that's better? And we said our thoughts, you know, being in the industry we're in, is that when we go especially to our enterprise customers to do this, they already have people very familiar with all the external tools, the Apaches, et cetera, and we just want to make this part easy. So we focused more on the – getting this into a large deployed situation where we knew that would they would have all the resources. And when we looked at the where the market is, which is a lot of small startups, and realized they didn't have the Apache skills, et cetera, we're moving towards making it so they don't have to deal with all that. So that's kind of the state of how we got to where we are today.
Just in case there are people listening to this that missed the announcement entirely, this is a major departure from the regular kind of licensing that Gemstone has, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Gemstone has been doing, you know, we released our first Smalltalk product in 1986, and we've been focused at the enterprise level ever since. So, I mean, the customers that we have are more along the lines of, you know, also some SimComs customers, JP Morgan, OOCL, NYK, Container Lines, you know, Union Bank of Switzerland, large enterprise customers. And, you know, and we have had the reputation that Gemstone was a very expensive product.
There's a reason.
And it's because it is a very expensive product. But on the other hand, if you have 3,000 concurrent users and you look at the price per user, it's not nearly as bad. The problem was that we had no way for people to get to use Gemstone at less than that enterprise level that was acceptable. So we went to our management. We said this is a critical part of our strategy going forward. So what we did was announce a completely free version of Gemstone S that can be used for free, even for commercial use, with some limitations that make it not intersect with our enterprise market. And those limitations are that it's Linux only, with the exception of this glass appliance on, you know, Mac and PC, but it's basically that's running Linux and VMware, that it's restricted to a 4 gigabyte data repository, and it runs on, it's tied to a single CPU. So, you know, this in no way affects, you know, somebody running on an AIX box with 128 processors and 160 gigs of RAM is in a, you know, in a completely different space. So we went out and talked to our customers. Everybody encouraged us and said, we think that's a great thing to do. We want to see more people using Smalltalk and Gemstone so that we can have, you know, people to hire into our enterprises. And, you know, we want to see the technology spread. We want Smalltalk spread. We want Gemstone. And Seaside is attracting enough interest from the, you know, in the community in general, from bloggers and podcasters and, you know, Ruby people, that it was just an obvious step. And you know, SimComm as well as doing Seaside, it's just pretty obvious that if we want to get some buzz and get people who have not used this technology before, that Seaside is a really good entry point to get them introduced and
well,
do there, something
there
productive.
Are a lot of people, there appear to be a lot of people that are coming to Smalltalk and coming to Squeak because of Seaside. And Seaside has that... you know, the thing that Ruby on Rails, which apparently has caught a big mindshare, has is basically taking care of persistence. And that's kind of where Gemstone, you know, we can step in here and add persistence, transparent persistence to Seaside, because that's something that in the last year or so, you know, new people would come in, say, oh, Seaside's great, I love it. How do I do persistence? And then you go into the, relational, object relational mapping dance. And, you know,
definitely the big difference between Ruby on Rails and Seaside and Squeak is this, persistence story. It's just, it was never part of the framework because
right. You
always plug something else in, like Magma or just storing image segments. And, that's pretty interesting that Ruby on Rails really captured it by just marrying the two together closely.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, the approach we took after, you know, evaluating several different things is just that we commit and abort on the request-response cycle so that it really is pretty transparent persistence. You don't, you know, it's the obvious boundary given the stateless application, you know, the stateless nature of a web app, that if you just commit at those particular places, that's the natural place, and you don't, you know, there's none of this. It's actually, I think, even less complex than Ruby on Rails in that sense.
Well, that's what Gemstone brings to the table is basically, you know, if you saved it in an image, it's persisted in Gemstone. so you don't really have to change your app at it in any way to take advantage of the persistence.
Yeah, so the
we see that as a big that's the biggest advantage that we see bringing into this is essentially if people are willing to step up and learn Smalltalk to work with Seaside, then the applications that they write in a single Squeak image should pretty much, you know, move into a gemstone image without any changes. There are going to be changes that you need to make, but minimal changes.
So what are you guys doing to promote this?
Podcasts
on...
Yeah, podcasts on...
industry misinterpretation.
I think the first thing we want to do, all right, is if you go back, we announced the web edition in at Smalltalk Solutions, and we were hoping that we would have a general beta available in by ESUG, which didn't happen. All right. So the first order is to not be... to not have be talking about vaporware.
Yeah. we get that one, yeah.
Yeah, I mean so we did take a demo to, you know, to ESUG, and it is, you know, in the hands of about 10 or 12 different people, and we actually have one company that is going live today in a production application with it. So
when we say the beta, and not being ready for beta, it really gets down to our tools are not ready.
Yeah, there's the components of this are as follows. It's built off of a standard gemstone product, the same one that's used in production with thousands of concurrent users and doing, thousands to number of thousands of transactions per second. So the gemstone part of it is very production ready and solid. Then what we layered on top of Gemstone was we made Gemstone compiler compatible with Squeak syntax, and we took the Seaside 2.6 and then Seaside 2.8 and got them running in Gemstone with a few changes here and there.
And those are relatively solid.
Yeah, and that's now also relatively solid. The Seaside folks are 2.8 is in the final, it's frozen. They're doing bug fixes, and 2.8 will move from release candidate to golden release or whatever their terminology is, over the next few weeks. So that part is pretty solid. We had to add the things that we needed to do to make this perform well is and to be very flexible is another component called OmniBrowser. I don't know how familiar you guys are with that, but it's basically a meta browser rather than a browser with a lot of hooks into the innards. And
they've taken Colin Putney did OmniBrowser.
Yeah.
And took basically isolating the model, I think, one step, or isolating the view one step farther, so that essentially when you've got your model view controller kind of situation, the view and model, the model is a meta model, and underneath that is the specific browser functionality. So the interface to the view is generic.
Okay.
So that means that you've got a layer of indirection between saying what's in the class list is, well, let's ask our meta model's model what's in the class list. And as a result, it makes it possible for somebody like Gemstone to have essentially the logic for all of the windows running in the server itself with very little interaction across the wire to Squeak, where we run the user interface component.
Okay, so the development environment for this is Squeak. I guess, that was really my question. Is the development environment for this Squeak, or is the development environment for this command line in Topaz?
The development environment is Gemstone with a UI hosted in Squeak.
Okay.
Or Topaz, if you wish to use,
you could use
command
Topaz
line.
Yeah. Or VisualWorks.
What is part of Glass right now is a Squeak image. That you're familiar with GBS?
Yes.
Okay. So GBS is, we're not quite taking the same approach that we've done with GBS. In GBS, the tools actually run in client Smalltalk.
Mm-hmm.
And classes and the entire class structure is replicated into the GBS image and is acted upon there by essentially native VisualWorks or VisualAge tools that have been modified somewhat.
And this is the way most of our customers have traditionally done development, is by using a client Smalltalk, either VA Smalltalk or VisualWorks, and then used Gem Builder for Smalltalk or GBS to see into the class library to manipulate gemstone classes, add methods, and that sort of thing. What's provided here as an alternative for those who aren't using one of the commercial industrial strength client Smalltalks is familiar tools to the Squeak community, where they're able to use very similar tools, and just the browser that opens up inside your Squeak window, instead of being a browser into the Squeak class library, is a browser into the Gemstone class library.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It's kind of a lightweight approach into it. It's it's almost like your Smalltalk browser is operating more like a web browser in a sense.
Yeah, and in fact, Colin Putney is, who also did Omnibrowser, by the way. He's got some code out there. I've not used it or seen it running yet, but it implements an Ajax-based browser that talks to Omnibrowser.
For commercial users of Gemstone, I imagine they would still have the ability to connect in with a VisualWorks or VisualAge client.
Oh yeah,
I mean, you could
the license that we have for our web edition does not support what is it?
If you're going to use VisualWorks
buffers, which GBS is built upon.
So basically, what it works out is if you're going to use VisualWorks or VisualAge in a commercial environment, and you want to talk to Gemstone, you have to pay you have to pay everybody.
Yeah.
So,
but with that said, right now we have an Omnibrowser client running in Squeak. I don't think it would be that much work to get an Omnibrowser client running in VisualWorks.
I think there was a while ago, there was an open source or community provided Omnibrowser port to VisualWorks. Now, obviously not tuned specifically for this purpose.
Yeah, if that exists, I think it would take not very long to get our Gemstone tools running in VisualWorks.
Okay.
Because the interesting thing that goes on here is what we did for Squeak, for example, is there's a class called GSOB Browser that is a subclass of the OB Browser, which is part of that is the superclass of all the browsers for Omnibrowser. And that single class proxies for all of the browsers, and I don't know, there's like 15 of them that run now in Gemstone. So there's very little new code that needs to be written once we get our basic browser interface built. There's very little code that needs to be written when you add a new window, for example, or browser on the Gemstone side.
Yeah, now I understand that the Squeak and Omnibrowser interface is more aimed at that lower and mid-tier that you feel like you were kind of excluding with your enterprise licenses.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The question I had is, do you have much interest yet from your enterprise class customers in this port? I mean, not obviously in the Squeak side of things, but just in the Glass initiative in general.
Yeah, we actually have a mutual enterprise customer who's expressed to us that they are interested in using this for Seaside. And what we've done for this kind of middle tier, we've got this, what we'd like to do is provide this somewhat ubiquitously for free, even for a commercial app, so that if you write a Seaside app, it should be just like when you get, Postgres is part of a track or your SVN system or whatever, but it's just there and people run it. If you need more capability, for example, if you want to hook it into VisualWorks or VisualAge, instead of it being the prior expensive Gemstone, we have a $7,000 a year subscription model that will allow you to run it with VisualWorks or VisualAge and have, I can't remember, 64 gigs of data, some larger amount. So we really are trying to, attract that whole other tier of users. And for people who are Gemstone Enterprise customers, it's in a way a no-cost add-on because Seaside itself is free and open source software. So if you happen to be somebody using an enterprise version of Gemstone, you can just go get Seaside out of the repository and use it.
Gemstore sitting out there, complete
same license. So it's, you know, any enterprise customer who wants to use this can. And we think, you know, the plan always was between April and ESUG to get it to a state where we could have a more public beta. And then between ESUG and Christmas to bring it, you know, New Year's, you know, sometime in January, we'd like to have it a more generally available release, because we will get, I'm sure, a lot of feedback on the tools. And we had gone through that up to the point where Dale, you know, we started talking about components of this, the gemstone part, the seaside part, and the tools part, which there are two components. There's the basic tools, you know, browsers, inspectors, or whatever, which are done and stable and useful. But then we also have Monticello, source code management toolkit, which didn't come with the Monticello tools are not based on OmniBrowser. And so as a result, we're having to rebase, we're having to come up with OmniBrowser-based versions of the Monticello tools because the Monticello tools make way too many round trips to be of much use. And so, you know, over the next month, we will be, you know, finishing up porting the Monticello-based tools, and then we'll have a complete toolkit
that'll be time when we can start opening up
the beta a little more. And we think, it, you know, for the rest of this year, we think the people interested will be current Gemstone, VisualWorks, Seaside, Squeak people, kind of the community that we talk to a lot. Hopes are that in next year, you know, that we will begin trying to attract Ruby programmers from the crowd of people who say, well, you know, this Ruby stuff is pretty cool. I wish they'd make it more like Smalltalk.
One other thing, too, I suppose we should mention from the promotion standpoint, you guys are running a blog with an interesting name. You've got the Gemstone Soup blog out there that I linked to when I first noticed it.
Yeah.
That's probably where people ought to go for announcements on this technology, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for right now. We are, when we get it, this kind of next iteration, we actually will change. We have a really pretty terrible one-page site I wrote on a plane that's a static on the plane on the way to Smalltalk Solutions. That's a one-pager.
Seaside.gemstone.com.
And what we plan to do as soon as we get over this, the bulk of this work, is to convert that site to use to be a Seaside-based site, similar to Seaside.
I think the blog is a WordPress blog, right?
Yeah, the blog's a WordPress blog. It's not even running on Gemstone hardware. It's just a standard Gemstone Soup WordPress.com.
Yeah, I've got some blog software, see, and
well, you know, we. I know you do.
You know, the blog was, I actually didn't talk to anybody about setting that up. I just,
oh, we're just ragging on you.
Yeah, it's fine.
You know, it's Dale's blog. You know, he can talk to the but, you know.
I don't even have a disclaimer up there. Jeez.
Yeah, you need a disclaimer. but sometime this quarter, we will put stuff up that's actually running some Seaside-based app on top of Gemstone.
Uh-huh.
Like I say, if you go to seaside.st, they're running that site on Peer.
Mm-hmm.
Peer, we know, will be a pretty easy port to Gemstone. We may run it on that. We haven't made a lot of decisions yet because we not only have the technology, we need to revise a lot of content to talk, instead of talking about building stuff in Smalltalk, about, you know, doing web things that we've never had much presence in the web side of things. It's always been fat client enterprise applications.
You mentioned the unique name for Dale's blog. I think it does a very nice job of capturing the nature of the relationship we want to have with the community, where we're bringing the stone and we're trusting that everybody else will bring the soup. And
that's really the technical drive for the Seaside side of stuff in your group.
I guess that'd be me.
Yeah, Dale's been the one who's gotten permission to spend the most time on this.
I see. Okay, yeah. I mean, and what do you really like about Seaside?
You know, the truth is I've probably not built any websites out of Seaside. All right. So I'm actually trying to basically put it on Gemstone, have it run on Gemstone, have it run efficiently with and at high speeds, high commit rates, or high request rates, without having to get too involved in changing CSITE. I'm at the lower level here.
To be honest, we approach this much like, there's this cool thing out there that everybody's talking about. It's written in Smalltalk. It shouldn't be that big a job to port. What would it take? And while Squeak and Syncom Smalltalk have built in the capability of creating continuations just kind of at the software level because of the capabilities of analyzing the stack, we did need to go in and have some VM changes. And so it was a matter of kind of what would it take to get this going? And after a few Skunk Works efforts in that direction, it really is a matter of we don't consider ourselves experts on the CSITE community or experts within the CSITE community. We're providing a small talk, a platform on which other people can build things.
Mm-hmm. And so, the driving thing for us at Gemstone with the CSITE effort was really to build a very nice bridge between Squeak and Gemstone. All right. The idea is that people have been coming to Squeak because of we haven't been publicizing it. You know, people come to Squeak for CSITE. It's easy to get started with Squeak. You download the image and you're off to the races writing your CSITE application. But once you get to the point of saying, I want to go into production, that's when people start scratching their heads, okay? And what we wanted to do was essentially, when people reach the point of saying, I'm ready to go into production, have an answer. And that answer is, you can port that application to Gemstone and use all the tools that you're familiar with in Squeak, which is why we've gone with Monticello, which is why we've gone with OmniBrowser, and why we have a Squeak image as the development image. Just to basically make it a very clean transition from the Squeak-based application to running a production site.
One of the ironies of this is that while Gemstone has been out there as a Smalltalk vendor for years, the purported weakness of Gemstone has always been there's no real client UI. And what we have with the web applications is something where all you need is a socket that can serve up the strings in the HTML format. And the world has finally come around to need where we have a strength. And so now we can go out there and provide something that that really does play to our strengths, which is persistence and scaling and multi-user. And with any other web application and with the single-user Smalltalk environments that are providing it, you're going to start to run into challenges with that you're going to have to address with some sort of multi-machine or coordination among multiple VMs, which is something that Gemstone already provides built in out of the box in a largely transparent way.
So if I was to develop an application using Flask, what would it take to deploy it? I'd have to have a Linux 64 box.
It would take what it takes is a Linux box with either a Core 2, Intel VT technology, which is the Core 2 Duo, or AMD. I can't remember what they call theirs. It's specific.
The Athlon.
Yeah, there's an Athlon with if you look for the Athlon used to have Opterons used to have 200 series. Now they have 2000 series. That's the ones with support for hardware virtualization built in.
So you don't deploy it just from your VMware image?
No, this is let me back up a little bit. You don't need that. If you want to run the Glass version, the VMware, you need the Core 2 Duos. If you aren't trying to run it under VMware, then you just need a 64-bit box that'll run 64-bit stuff. It's that VMware only runs on AMD and Intel later chips.
So you could have a Windows or a Mac box that's running on the modern 64-bit hardware that VMware supports. Yeah.
But if you want to go into production and you are comfortable with Linux, setting up Linux and doing that, there'd be the Gemstone application server database that you can install in your Linux environment following the installation instructions and then get it up, configured, and start running.
Yeah, we think that what we see with Ruby developers is a lot of the Ruby developers are, and almost exclusively, it's embarrassing when you go to a Ruby conference, they're all developing on Macs and deploying on Linux boxes. They're all sitting in Starbucks with their Macintosh and their buddy next door programming, and then they upload their Ruby code to a Linux box at night and deploy on that. So that's kind of the model is if you have a Linux laptop or a Linux box at your desk that you develop on, you can do that. Or if you have a Mac or a PC, you develop using this appliance, and when you get through, you just deploy that on a Linux box. And as you grow, the other limitation I didn't mention about the free version, I did mention that it had single CPU affinity, you also can't run it in a cluster. You would also have to pay us if you want to run it on a cluster of machines. But, you know, what we've seen and evidence from other people like, you know, Yanko Mivshek, and he talks about AIDA, says that he supports 100, you know, small websites on a single, you know, on a single
VisualWorks
image.
So evidently, decent numbers of websites and decent numbers of requests can be
he said that he gets out of AIDA about 30, you know, he can max out at about 30 page hits per second, and he felt that that was adequate for, you know, 85-90% of the web. It's probably built on sites. You don't get more than that.
And you can do that in this VMware.
Yeah, you could do that in the VMware appliance easily, too. So, yeah, I mean, you could easily deploy in the VMware appliance and have the advantages that come with VMware of, you know, backing up a disk file instead of, you know, more complicated stuff. You could deploy on one of those. And
I think the thing was is if you're getting started, what would you do? Is that kind of the question?
Well, I seem to recall at Small Talk Solutions you were talking about Gemstone offering some sort of hosting option for...
Yes, the sandbox, yeah.
Okay,
Sandbox. Okay, yeah, well, let me... I can talk about that a little bit because somebody asked me about the... Yeah, we do have a sandbox. The purpose of the sandbox was never for people to deploy applications.
No, understood.
Right. Okay. Right, but
if they didn't have the 64-bit hardware.
Yeah, if they didn't have the 64-bit hardware, they could use the sandbox. And we will probably still do that, but what we've found out is that pretty much everybody we've talked to you could put this on a $1,299 MacBook, you know, $1,299 MacBook, or an even less expensive Dell.
I was at Office Depot last week, and they had a $500 64-bit laptop with 1 gig of RAM and an 8-gig hard disk.
Maybe we should put CPUs out there and actually sell a real appliance. Little handles on the side.
Like Google does.
I think you actually just have the CDs pop out of the top and sell that as a seaside appliance.
Yeah.
It's a thought. But, I mean, I don't know whether the sandbox is as useful as we thought it is. We haven't ruled out producing the sandbox. Yeah. We have people today.
We have a sandbox out there, but... Yeah.
One of the other today using it, but you know the other thing if you have a sandbox is you're going to have to put up with internet latencies and
it sounds like the technology is catching up real quick to where you want to be.
It is. And if I were a user, I would use it as an excuse to go buy a MacBook or something.
Well, we've been heckling Arden a fair bit about not having a Mac surrounded by Mac people at ISUG.
One of the things I'd want to add is the limitations for the free edition are actually modeled somewhat on what Oracle and Microsoft SQL Server are doing. And so with either one of those, free for commercial use, you can get a commercial industrial strength database if you're willing to limit yourself to 4 gigs of data, 1 gig of RAM, and it'll only use one CPU. And so this is actually fairly, you know, parallel to that sort of model.
Yeah, and we actually really hope that a lot of people develop commercial applications and be able to proceed with that model, because then they'll get the value out of it. And when they grow enough to want support or additional, you know, capacity, they can.
But it's good for everybody if, you know, if there's lots and lots of people using Smalltalk, you know.
Yeah, and we make plenty of money on our enterprise systems that we're not, you know, it's not like we have to do this in order to make money right now, but we think it will certainly
grow the market.
It's exciting to see new people come to Smalltalk.
When I talk to people from the JP Morgans and UBSs of the world about what they need, they say, we need more people who know Gemstone. We need people in universities. We need Smalltalk programmers. And, you know, this is another way to help, you know, us and the rest of the Smalltalk community have a, you know, be able to continue doing this in years to come and have more customers. So we think it would be great.
Very good, guys. I wish you all the best.
Yep.
Being a Gemstone user or consulting on a Gemstone project, I know how nice it is using Gemstone. And boy, it makes a difference to your database interface.
Oh, thank you very much.
So, very good.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Here's Dave Buck with this week's Cimbron Design Minute.
This is David Buck with today's Cimbron Design Minute. Most software developers are obsessed with performance. They want to get their applications to run as quickly as possible. Unfortunately, they also have very bad instincts about what makes performance bad. Nevertheless, they'll normally resort to some sort of micro-tuning, such as avoiding method calls, inlining the code directly, using arrays instead of more sophisticated collections, and avoiding allocating memory so they don't have to free it later. The problem with these optimizations is that they're all done blindly. You never really know if that's going to have any significant effect on the performance of your application. Instead, what you should do is write your application as cleanly as you can first. Then, once you have it running, measure the performance and see where it's slow. You can usually use high-level optimizations and better algorithms to improve the performance rather than resorting to low-level optimizations. There's a common mantra in the object-oriented field: make it work, then make it right, then make it fast. This has been the Cimbron Design Minute. Cimbron offers training and consulting in object-oriented languages and the Smalltalk programming language. For more information, visit www.cimbron.com or email info@cimbron.com.
And here's James Savage with this week's Smalltalk Jobs Report.
I'm James T. Savage, and this is the Smalltalk Jobs Report. Richard Pearson, our Northeast Coast contributor, reports that in Secaucus, New Jersey, UNITEP is looking for a Smalltalk developer who has a Bachelor of Science degree in computer science. This is a contract-to-hire position that pays market rate. Waterby, Connecticut. Precision System Design is looking for a senior Smalltalk developer, trainer, who also has experience with technical mentoring. This is a 3-plus-month contract, and the pay is open. Minneapolis, Minnesota. The IT doctors are looking for an Adibus natural programmer. Experience that is considered a plus includes CIS, customer information systems, and Smalltalk. This 6-plus-month contract pays $60 an hour on a 4-day work week. Also included are airfare, hotel, and per diem. This position may be related to the Kansas City position that I spoke about last week. San Jose, California. Cadence Design Systems has a permanent position open for a computer scientist who has a Master's of Science degree in computer science and experience with Smalltalk. Grapevine, Texas. Cincy Engineering is looking for a database applications developer who has experience with Oracle, PLSQL, Smalltalk, Solaris, SQL Server, Visual Basic, MS-DOS, and Windows 2000. This contract position is for 11 months. According to the posting, benefits include, but are not limited to, childcare, flexible benefits, a flexible work schedule, and vision insurance. These are just a few examples of the Smalltalk positions that are currently open across the world. For more details, visit my blog, Message Sends, with an undefined object. Good luck with your job hunting.
And that about wraps it up for this episode of Industry Misinterpretations. We'll be back next week with a new one. In the meantime, please feel free to send us feedback to smalltalkpodcasts@syncom.com. And have fun with small talk. Everybody wants to go. I fell in love at the seaside. I handle my charm with time and sleight of hand. Do you want to go to the seaside? I'm not trying to say that everybody wants to go.